Ukrainians, Identity and Dignity podcast is on the air. It's been over 5 months since the world unveiled Ukrainians as a nation of courageous and indomitable people who relentlessly struggle for their freedom. We remind you that in this podcast we tell you about the milestones which form our identity and make us a part of the European community. Today in our rubric War Explained, we are revealing another stereotype about Ukraine being corrupt, unstable, ruled from outside. Brief, a failed state. Are you ready to prove it wrong? You must have heard that many world media outlets echo the Russian narrative about Ukraine as a failed state. Ukraine is a totally corrupted state. Ukraine's economy and political institutions are almost non-functional. Maidan was an organized coup by the Western world. Further, the revolution of dignity was to eliminate the pro-Russian government and the Russian-speaking population in Ukraine. And finally, to make Ukraine a pro-Western puppet state. These are the arguments Russia uses to call Ukraine a failed state. Are they valid, though? Let's see the definition. A failed state is a state unable to project authority over its territory and people and protect its national boundaries. The ongoing civil violence, corruption, crime, poverty, illiteracy, and crumbling infrastructure are described as common features of a failed state. The Economist deems Afghanistan can be called a failed state today. The USA withdrew their troops because of the political corruption. It caused the fall of power in Afghanistan. The Taliban easily gained power marked by terror, violence, and human rights violation. So, do we have grounds to call Ukraine a failed state? Let's consider three aspects: military, institutional, and economic. Ukraine, regarding its security and defense functions, is not a failed state. Western intelligence and governments predicted that Kyiv would fall in 2-3 days and the whole Ukraine in a matter of weeks. This did not happen. Vice versa, the Ukrainian army and society courageously resist the Russian full-scale invasion for over 5 months now. At the beginning of the all-out war, many drew a parallel between Ukraine and Afghanistan. However, despite the tremendous funding for the armed forces, the Afghanistan government failed to counteract the Taliban militants, considerably weaker than the state army. Also, Afghanistan withstood Taliban's expansion until USA troops protected their land. When Americans left, Afghans didn't struggle to continue their fight. On the contrary, the Ukrainian government conveyed its resistance against an enemy, with a significant advantage in weapons and manpower. At the very beginning, there were no foreign troops to aid Ukraine defeat Russian offensive. Ukrainians did it themselves. Yet now there are international battalions helping Ukrainian armed forces. Also, it was their choice to join the ranks. And they don't make for the majority of the Ukraine's armed forces. The Afghan army lost to the Taliban because of the widespread corruption in Afghanistan's defense and interior ministries. Army funds and supplies were stolen. The ammunition was sold on the black market. Moreover, there was no common ground in the ideology or a sense of national duty and value of democracy. If American financial and military support is within Afghanistan, liberal democracy is here. Once the USA military withdraws, the democracy crumbles. Ukrainian soldiers, conversely, are highly motivated since they understand the purpose of the war: fighting for their own freedom, territorial integrity, and cultural authenticity. And then democracy is what Ukrainians fight for and value with their whole heart since they know its price. Now let's shift to the sovereignty of the state and its institutional stability.
Since February 2014, when the revolution of dignity began, it was the only country in Eastern Europe to pass legislation to rein in the oligarchs' powers. Or take the reform of the administration and decentralization. It is a success. We see it that the administration does function despite this atrocious war.
Emphasized the President of the European Commission. Since the start of the full-scale invasion, the President and key officials have proved they are in Ukraine and continue their work. Furthermore, Kurz opened cases against national traitors and wartime collaborators. Simultaneously, the Ukrainian parliament began to introduce relevant war-related laws. These include those based on the use of weapons, mobilization, social protection of citizens, working conditions, and the educational process. Despite the wartime, Ukraine advances not in internal policies only. Recently, the Ukrainian parliament has ratified the Istanbul Convention to defend women's rights, ensuring its way towards the EU. Thanks to the fruitful work of the authorities, notably our diplomats, we receive significant help from foreign partners, so internationally displaced persons, senior people, and war victims can be entered into digital registers and receive financial assistance. For comparison, let's recall Afghanistan. Since the first days of the Taliban coup in August 2021, the Afghan government left the country and took several hundred million dollars with them. The country's army of Afghanistan itself remained looted, unarmed, unable to protect their country. Instead, the armed forces of Ukraine has been giving a decent rebuff to the enemy from the first days of the full-scale offensive. The success would not be achieved without the financial reform and evolution of the Ukrainian armed forces implemented in 2014. What mainly distinguishes Ukraine from Afghanistan or failed state from not failed state is the authorities who are the decision makers in the country before and during the war. Afghanistan was under the US-led nation building for 15 years. The country's government failed to build a democratic independent state. Instead, the Ukrainian institutions are functioning independently and their decisions are mostly representing the interests of Ukrainian society, not particular elites. Let's go further. Corruption is another speculator's Russian constructed argument claiming Ukraine is West-governed. Dmytro Kuleba, Ukrainian Minister of Foreign Affairs, responds to it.
Regarding corruption, I have a question, and I say it to the colleagues at all meetings. Maybe it's time for us to determine that the story about the corruption of Ukraine, it was, let's say, historically exaggerated. Why wouldn't the Ukrainian state crumble if it was so riddled with corruption?
As for Afghanistan, the corruption of the authorities has become one of the key factors in the effortless win of the Taliban. Ikram Afzali, a human rights defender from the Integrity Watch Afghanistan organization, noted.
The main reason is that the state institutions came under the control of elites who were themselves completely corrupt and had no interest in fighting corruption.
In Ukraine, the fight against corruption is slow but ongoing. The National Anti-Corruption Bureau and the Specialized Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office continue to work, and the war sometimes positively affects the corrupt, who transfer their corrupt funds to the needs of the armed forces. Like the former prosecutor of the Odessa region who submitted a petition to the Supreme Anti-Corruption Court and asked to transfer the deposit funds in the amount of 2.5 million Ukrainian hryvnias to the armed forces of Ukraine. According to Kyiv School of Economics, economic indicators and the macrofinancial situation in Ukraine were stable at the beginning of 2022. And the National Bank of Ukraine had about $30 billion in reserves to curb devaluation. Also, the country's authorities are now trying to support businesses, ensure food exports, and provide assistance to internally displaced persons in all possible ways. For example, the bureaucratic business-related procedures were simplified thanks to digitalization, additional grants, and free consulting for entrepreneurs appeared. International displaced persons and senior people are provided with financial benefits. Ukraine works to stabilize exports as well. It signed the agreement on the shipments of grain and other agriculture products supported to be exported via Ukrainian ports. On July 30, the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, noted.
Concrete work on the restoration of Ukrainian grain exports began today in Odessa. It's important not only from the point of view of the economic strength of our state, which is needed to withstand this war. It's important for the world to withstand the pressure of the food crisis. The more Ukrainian grain is on the global market, the more stable the situation with our partners will be. And therefore, our joint countermeasures against the terrorist state will be more effective.
So freedom is not free, and Ukraine protects it daily. And despite the hardship of the war, Ukraine succeeds to function as a state in the defense sphere, institutionally and economically. And no matter what cliches you are encountering within the international media, be sure they know everything about Ukrainian sense of resistance and dignity. Because dignity is what makes Ukrainians resist, and they will do it till the very end. Glory to Ukraine!